sorry, that sound does not mean I'm about to start battle rapping. It's just time for hashtag war. Over the weekend, another conspiracy theory went mainstream online, but not one of the scary ones. Many people have noted that this picture, allegedly from the 1800s, of a Cambodian princess looks suspiciously like rapper Nicki Minaj, forcing many to question whether the pop star is actually a 200-year-old East Asian royal. Even the Barb herself chimed in. A single question mark. Sometimes that's all you need. Panelists, who do people say you look like?
I was told by one of my platonic male friends that I look like adult film star Jessie Rogers. And I didn't know who she was, so I Googled her, and the pictures that popped up were graphic. Yeah. And I was concerned realizing that my friend saw those pictures and was like, you know who this reminds me of?
Were you surprised that the photos were graphic? Were you expecting to see her in a blazer?
Maybe a blazer and nothing else. I mean, yeah. There's some classy porn nowadays.
It's true.
Yeah, not that I wouldn't know. And not me, I work for CBS. To honor this bizarre theory, there is a game, we almost forgot. To honor this bizarre theory, tonight's hashtag is hashtag historical musicians. For example, Jimmy Eat World War II. Or Taylor Swift's 1789. Panelists, I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock and you'll buzz in with as many jokes as you can that fit tonight's topic, starting now. Kelsey.
Guns and Moses.
Yes. Chad.
Marvin Gaye rights.
Yes. Oh, that's so good.
Chad.
Boys to Manifest Destiny.
Kelsey.
Whitney Houston, we have a problem.
Oh. Milana.
Blink 180 et tu, Brute.
Kelsey.
Lil Jon Smith.
Milana.
Bruno Mars Rover.
Yeah. Kelsey.
Earth, Wind, and the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Fire.
Oh my gosh, this is the best show ever. Kelsey is in the lead with 1,100 points.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnert, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
Oh, I know not typical stand-up.
I thought only safety nerds knew it. What was that?
What's that?
Let's say I thought only safety nerds knew about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Fire.
Well, that's our friend Kelsey Cook.
Yeah.
She was on After Midnight. I know a long while ago, but we talked about Taylor Tomlinson taking over the late night for Corden.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was going to be a typical late night talk show.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I came across a clip, and so I binge watched all of last week. And I loved the show when Chris Hardwick hosted it. I don't know if you ever watched it.
Mm-mm. I never watched it.
When it was called At Midnight.
No.
Oh, and it was, like I said, it was Chris Hardwick hosted it. And they always have, back then it was basically all stand-up comedians. Now it seems like they throw some actors in with it, like Max Greenfield was on an episode last week. It hasn't been all just stand-up comedian, but you can tell, like, if you get a chance, go back and watch the Max Greenfield episode, I think it was from, like, last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell he's only funny when people are writing for him.
Yeah, one of those.
Like he struggled, coming up with funny shit on his own.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can definitely tell who's outclassed by the comedians on a show like this and who's not, but... Oh.
You can tell which comedians write their own stuff, so...
Yeah, and then I didn't watch last night, tonight it doesn't happen, but a clip scrolled by earlier today and I was like, oh my God, Kelsey Cook's on At Midnight. And for those who don't remember or don't know, we've played clips of Kelsey a few times on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first rooms me and Brandon ever produced, we had Kelsey.
She was on one of the first shows.
Yeah, she was one of our first headliners.
Yeah.
At the old Was it still a bench warmer then?
Yeah, it was a bench warmer.
I was getting confused because it changed names so many fucking times.
Well, I think it changed names, and then when he got it, he changed it back to the bench warmer.
Okay.
And then I think it turned into something else after he lost it. But
now it's a place called Harps. It's like a Irish bar and grill.
I just remember the very first time we did a show there, we had to wait for the
gay bingo.
Sex toy bingo. Sex toy bingo to end before we could start the show.
Yeah, and that's because when he bought it, it was a gay bar.
Yeah.
It had gone from the bench warmer when I DJ'd there to O'Gallagher's, which I still DJ'd at, and then it became a gay bar, and some of the events from the gay bar kind of rolled over when the guy you knew bought it. So it made me fucking...
I think it should have kept the name of O'Gallagher's when it became a gay bar, because I mean, that just...
No, because that just welcomes people to come in and smash fruit.
Well, that's what they wanted to do.
Well, it depends on which way you look at it.
They either wanted to smash fruit or be the fruit that was getting smashed.
Or you got people that don't like fruit and come in and smash it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
We don't want that kind of smashing of fruit.
That's what I'm talking about. So, it was actually, I think it popped up in my memories not too long ago. It was actually Kelsey Cook and Jonas Barnes co-headlined. Yep.
Yeah, which is a great show.
One of those first nights.
And yeah, so, I miss Jonas. I see him on Facebook every once in a while.
Yeah.
But.
Speaking of booking shows, I saw you commented, so I know you saw it. The show at Yellowbeak.
Yeah.
The fuck are what? I guess before I fucking lose my mind, what the fuck do you think?
I mean, for one, Yellowbeak is not going to be, it's not going to be a great place to do comedy. I've been there before. It's not, especially on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Saturday night at the Yellowbeak is a rough night for comics. Those comics are going to get eaten alive, especially I've seen Bing, whatever her name is, do comedy. She's not going to do well in Enum Claw on a Saturday night. And the fact that it looks like you have to pay to get into the contest.
Okay, you saw that too.
Like, no.
$2 to $5? What the fuck is $2 to $5?
Yeah. I mean, would you get something different for $5 than $2? I mean, do you get more time? I mean, it just seems like one of those things to me. It's dancing that fine line of all of a sudden you want comics to pay, especially to drive all the way out to Enumclaw. If it was maybe downtown Tacoma, downtown Seattle, I still don't agree with making them pay to be on the show, but Enumclaw?
Yeah. One, like you said, pay to be on a show is fucking dumb. Especially, it's different, right? If you pay to go to a festival, like if you pay to enter and send your entry into the Montreal Comedy Festival or the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival, or like we all know how festivals work. However, you're going in and it's not a fucking open mic. You don't get 2 to 5 minutes and are done. And you perform multiple nights throughout the festival at different locations. Same with the Seattle International, right?
Yeah.
And you have industry people there that hopefully like you, right? And you start getting paid. Who the fuck is coming out to Enumclaw for an open mic competition? Let's refer open mic competition.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, you know, the only way, you know, because that was one thing when I was booking the shows out there in Enumclaw, you know, the idea of an open mic kept getting brought up. And I'm like, nobody's driving to fucking Enumclaw for an open mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only way comics are coming out there is if you're paying them to.
You'd have to do it on a Monday. I mean, that'd be your only choice because. And even like Tacoma Comedy has started, I think they're not their main location, but their second location.
Yeah,
I think
the 6th and Proctor
Monday night open mic. You know, so you can't.
Because I hosted it once before I left.
You can't even fucking double dip. You can't.
No.
You know, it's not.
Because you couldn't make it from Enumclaw to Tacoma in time.
No. It's a fucking joke. And then a Saturday night headline at the same fucking place. One, it's a Saturday night. You're not going to get the comics you want.
No, you're not. I mean,
and
if you're
taking
not paying
an open mic comedy competition winner who got 2 fucking minutes and going, hey, bud, you get an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, we fucking seen that. Remember the dude that won our summer competition?
Oh, yeah.
And to host and couldn't do 10 minutes?
No, couldn't do 10 minutes because he had a really good 3, but that was it. You know, that's one of the things like down here where I was talking to, I did a show last night and like half the comics bailed. So all of us got like 15 minutes. And we were talking about the fact that like there are places that sometimes charge for it and how dumb it is. You know, I mean, unless like you said, it's a festival or something like that where you could get something out of it.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, if you're just going to a random bar, even in the middle of Houston, I'm not going to, no, there's a,
no, for
there's
me
gonna
to
be
go,
out here going to see me.
For me to perform on a Saturday night, you're going to fucking pay me.
Yeah.
And I'm a nobody, things, and you're going to fucking pay me.
You know, it's insane. I mean, there was a post earlier today on the Houston comics page where they basically said, hey, here's some shows that we have coming up, 25 minute, 30, or like 45 minute, an hour. But if you're going to do one of those, send us a tape that's that long, because I don't want to see your 3-minute tape because that doesn't tell me if you can do 25 minutes. And it's like, yeah, exactly. Because like you said, we ran into that.
Now,
great 3 minutes, won the competition with 3 minutes, but you asked him to do more than that and he didn't have it.
I'd be really curious to know if they watched all 25 minutes. Watched all 45 minutes. Watched all.
I doubt it. I'm betting they don't, but I think it's just a matter of just show me that you at least have it.
Okay. Think of it this way. But think of it this way. I send my fucking Uncle Moe's tape in. They get a file that says he went an hour 55 minutes and are like, oh, now would you hire that Matt out of Uncle fucking Moe's? Remember, after that show, we went to work.
Yeah, we went to work after that show. But and that's one of those things. I think for me, if it was me doing it and I was asking for those, because I've done it when I worked at, you know, when I was booking comics that I hadn't seen before at, you know, out there in Enum Claw and Ording, I didn't always watch the whole video. I would watch the first 3 or 4 minutes and then fast forward to somewhere in the middle, watch a couple minutes in the middle and then a couple minutes at the end, just to make sure that it wasn't, you know, one of those ones like, hey, they were great for 4 minutes and then ate ass for the next freaking 20.
I still think, just to, especially when you're talking anything a half hour longer, right? So feature on up type deal, that the best way to know is word of mouth, right? People who have done that long of sets, somebody in the comedy community is going to know.
Yes.
And you may get, because, I mean, there's people that have seen me do an hour and have told me I've killed it, and then there's people who see me do an hour and go, you kind of lost it 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
But my hope would be that that person would be like, yeah, he can do it. Just the night I saw him do it, he had an off night. It was, you know, it wasn't great. But if that's who you can get right now, you know, type deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, this pay, fuck. Dude, you know how bad I want to get a group of people who I used to party with at the Yellow Beak? Hey, let's just go on a Saturday night and get fucking tore up.
Oh, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be like when, you know, what's-her-name tried to see if we want to do that one in Covington. And I went and watched one show there from when she was doing it and watched it. And I'm like, there was no control of the crowd. The sound equipment sucked. Everything. I'm like, there's no way I'm doing a show here.
It's going to be,
I mean,
as
a producer,
bad,
you have to know when to say no.
It's going to be as bad or worse than our days at the Central with fucking Shorty. You almost forgot about them shows, didn't you? Where they put a comedy show on in front of punk and metal bands.
And sometimes in between.
Yeah. And it's not like, right, somebody who makes a fucking boatload of money and is really good at it is Craig Gass. Right? Craig Gass performs stand-up hosting for Metallica and Guns N' Roses and, you know, fucking you name it. But it's billed that way.
Yeah.
You know, and not, he's that person, right? We weren't even told what we were fucking showing up to. And it's not like you and I don't listen to fucking heavy metal and punk rock, because we fucking do. And we enjoy the underground scene, and we enjoy the, you know, the unknown. But like, we're the right group for that concert.
Yes.
But when you're coming in with fucking dick jokes, And, you know, in your case, my nephew chewing on a chocolate bun, you know, carrot, that's a fucking punk show is not the place for that. Like, you got to alter your material. And so this Yellowbeak, and I don't know Ying. I can't necessarily badmouth her personally. I've heard stories. I've watched a few of her clips.
Yeah.
Enumclaw is not the place for her.
No, it's not. Because, I mean, when I was booking there, she even asked a couple times to come out. I'm like, no, because you're not what, no.
Yeah.
It's not going to end well.
No. And, I mean, especially before that place started charging when you had a little bit bigger crowds. Yeah. No way.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
I mean, this lady is going from, I just watched her post yesterday or the day before that she's doing a weekly Sunday during the day at an old folks home. She has a comedy show with Janice Fox that she does at noon on Sundays at an old folks home. I don't know. I saw that 10 minutes before we clicked on the computer, and I just about lost my fucking mind. Just about lost my fucking mind.
I've seen her a couple of times. I mean, some people have said she's okay, but every time I've seen her, she's not. I don't find her that entertaining. To me, she's not funny. But who knows? There's a couple of comics in the Seattle area that I'm like, they suck. And everyone else is like, oh, no, I really like them. And I'm like, okay.
Do you know what she's doing, though? She's doing what I and then you started to do before we took it serious. Except this is her taking it serious. She's walking in and just going, I do comedy, book me. You know, or let me book your room or whatever. And I don't know how many of these places are lasting, but it seems like every other week it's a new place. So I'm assuming not that long.
I don't think so. I mean, it sounds like she did, from what it sounded like, because she's from like Tri-Cities.
Yeah.
And it sounded like she had a room over there, but I think it was someone that was like handed to her. So it already existed.
And then it's been since handed off, right?
And then I think she handed it off and left and moved. But then there was issues, but yeah, because I was part of the group that was going to take it over. Not me personally, but I knew the people. So I heard a bunch of the issues, but who knows? Because I knew the group, and I don't know if it was her that was the issue or the people in the group, which I could see it being both ways.
Yeah.
Communication wasn't that those people's greatest. The leader of that group's greatest thing. So,
yeah, I don't know, but I'll put the invite out there for the local listeners if we want to pick a Saturday night to go out and fucking
just wreck it.
I mean,
because I don't know who's going to go out there. Because I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, of the local comics that I know, the only ones I could think of that would be going out there is people going out there with the exact same reason you want to.
And well, I doubt they're doing it, because most of those guys are doing a paid gig on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know, our group of friends that we enjoyed hiring as often as we could and keep a fresh show going. You know, the Narns, the Mike Hansons, the AFJs, those guys are all working comics. They may not be working headliners, but every one of them is a working comic. You know, even if they're getting paid to host the comedy club, you know, on a Saturday night, they're getting paid. And if they're not doing that, they're featuring at a bar where they're getting paid.
Yeah, and getting paid. So, I mean, I couldn't see any of them being out there unless it's one of those ones where they don't have a show that night, and they're just going out there to see what a train wreck that's going to be.
Yeah.
Because a Saturday night, you're going to get a lot of true open micers. And it's not going to end well. Because, I mean, the yellow beak on a Saturday night with a bunch of open micers, somebody's going to get...
Yeah,
they're going to get got.
I'm really, really curious. Really, really curious if Yellowbeak's under new ownership.
Yeah.
And is changing the whole format of the bar.
I mean, it could be. And maybe, or maybe they're just, for whatever reason, maybe they're suddenly starting to lose people coming to the bar. Something's happened. Because that's the other thing I can't think. The only reason you book a comedy show or something like this is to bring more people on the bar. And anytime I went to the Yellow Beak, there was, especially on a Saturday night, there was no problems getting people in that. That place was packed.
As far as I know, my friend Corey is still DJing there. Now, I could be wrong. It's been a couple months since I've talked to Corey. But Corey's the weekend DJ there. His name's Corey Hunt. He's in our fantasy league. Yeah. America's team. He's the DJ there. So I'd be real curious if I should shoot him a message one of these days and just... Actually, I'll be in his neck of the wood on Thursday for work. I might just swing by his work up in Buckley there.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's not a good idea, especially, and I don't think she can handle it. I think she's biting off more than she can chew. She's out in the middle of... It's not going
to
go well.
I should shoot Stephanie. Because
she's not a good communicator.
To go out. Let's go out.
Should. You should.
I'd be real.
If I was down there, I would go just for fun too. I mean,
I'd be real curious. And I don't even have to be the dick. I just get to sit in the back and watch the fucking chaos unfold. Or I'm watch it be a room be full of five comics that are desperate for stage time.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, dude, they could pay me $5 and come sit on our podcast with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same fucking difference.
But I mean, I can't see the Yellow Beak. I mean, like I said, unless something drastically changed with that bar, I couldn't see them needing this on a Saturday night. Mm-mm. Like, you know, when we went to places, that's one of the reasons why we always did Wednesday, typically Wednesday shows, was because Wednesday nights was one night most time comedians weren't getting paid. So you can get them to come in on a Wednesday night. And two, it's typically the slowest night of the week for a bar.
Yeah, so I don't want to toot our own horn because it doesn't happen very often. But we actually were very smart in how we went through, right? We chose Wednesday. One of the things we talked about was being able to get nationally headlining comics. You know, mm-hmm. maybe they're coming in for a Thursday through Saturday gig at a club. I mean, we got Gabriel Rutledge at a few of our rooms and pretty big.
I got him multiple times because that was it. He was getting ready for it. Yeah, ready for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I did that with a couple people, him, Mike White, Walter. I mean, there was a bunch of them that I got that were, oh, hey.
We mentioned already Kelsey Cook.
Warm up before, and hey, if I can make some money.
And Kelsey wasn't blowing up like she is now, but she was still a
and that's kind of why we did it that.
Comic.
No.
Yeah, we were very smart mm-hmm. in.
Yeah, so I mean, we got him that. Yeah.
In how we proceeded with it, to
and picking that night. Plus, it didn't, and it didn't get in the way of other things, because that was the one thing you run into is like Thursday nights. That was one of the problems I started running into with ordering. Thursday nights, Thursday night football.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
and didn't
Monday
you have
night,
a couple,
Monday
a
night
couple
football.
Cancellations
I mean,
out in
you
Ording?
Start football season, and all of a sudden things start getting in the way.
Didn't you have a couple cancellations in Ording too, where they're like, "Oh, yeah. I got picked to host the open mic, another non-paid gig, mm-hmm. but it's at a club,
yeah.
where they're being seen, you know, and not at a bar for 25.
Yeah, because there was a couple times I had to jump in.
Yeah.
Yeah, where I had to jump in. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't really book myself at Ording often, because I had to step in more than once.
Yeah.
To cover. Luckily, it was never headliner. It was just, you know, a host or a feature. But
true.
Then it's tough, too. And that's one of the things, like, you know, where I know I was trying to think. Can't remember which comedian it was, but one of the nights where all of a sudden I found out an hour ahead that I needed to cover for a feature, and I'm like, awesome. You know, and then it's like, great. So how is this headliner going to think when all of a sudden me, completely unprepared, is going to walk in and try and do 25 minutes, you know, 30 minutes? I did, but it wasn't my best 25 or 30 minutes because I wasn't ready for it. I was just like, all of a sudden, oh, crap, in an hour, I got to do 30 minutes.
Yeah, 100%. Nope, I get it. I get it. All right. We've been thinking of how's Houston feeling?
It's
football wise is where I'm going.
It's feeling okay. I mean, football wise, I mean, they're feeling horrible because they freaking lost that game. But here's the thing, though. Nobody thought that Houston would be there. And I'm becoming a Houston fan. On the AFC side, I'm still a Seahawk. I'm a diehard Seahawk fan. You should see one of the walls I just put yesterday, a whole bunch of Seahawks artwork down it. And I mean, here's my, you know, my Seahawk cup. But I mean, I have been getting more into Houston. Nobody thought they'd be there. I mean, it's a rookie head coach, a rookie quarterback. Nobody thought they were even going to, they were expecting to go like win four games.
Yeah. Now I've always been a Houston
and they won. I mean, it's a crappy division.
Houston,
but they won,
and I'm sure they hate him, but they drafted one of my favorite quarterbacks for their first draft pick ever, and that was David Carr. And David Carr was a small town Fresno State college quarterback, and I loved him. And so I kind of became a Houston fan off the bat, and then they had the great story of Arian Foster as the time went on, and then J.J. Watt is just...
Yeah.
To me, he was the Kelce's before the Kelce's. Looks like a tremendous person on and off the field. You know, destroys people on the field. So, and then I'm in mourning because my Bills lost wide right again. Again.
Yeah. Again.
Again.
And I mean, he's been money. That quarterback or the kicker's done good all year and misses when it counted.
Well, statistically, it was his worst year in the NFL, but
no,
not the point. And honestly, there was a lot of things in that game. Like, he didn't lose the game per se. No. He just didn't help. The play right before he had to kick, Allen went for the touchdown instead of the first down and missed a wide open guy. You know. You had the
Stephon Diggs. Well, yeah, but you also had freaking
65-yard drop.
Diggs dropped it. I mean, it dropped right now. How do you let that go through your hands?
Yeah, especially a guy who's whining and crying constantly that he doesn't get the ball. Well, why throw it to him?
And you give him you throw him to the ball, a 65-yard bomb into his hands, and he just lets it go right through.
I mean,
if he catches that ball, we're probably having a whole different conversation.
I heard there's an investigation with the refs for that game. Honestly, I didn't think the refs were... They miss calls every game. So we got... But I don't think any, like, hugely egregious misses.
The only one I could think of, and it didn't really matter because they ended up getting the ball in three plays, but anyway, was the pass interference on that fourth down. Where even the announcers are like, nope, it was within 5 yards... blah, blah, blah. It was before the ball was in the air. That's not pass interference. You know, and then they sit over there and talk for 5 minutes and come back and go pass interference. And everyone's like, what the fuck?
So that's where it's always a little sketch when they have their powwows and then come back negatively, you know. But, and then, you know, they missed the one, I think, on Josh Allen sliding. And when he slid, he got drilled.
He got wrecked.
You know, the first guy that hit him was bang, bang, no big deal. He also wasn't diving at him. The other guy was a little bit later, was in a spearing motion. But again, it didn't change the game. There was plays out there to be made that just were not made. Now, the best part of that game.
No, exactly.
The best part of that game was fucking Jason Kelce. I've got a man.
When all
crush.
Of a sudden they showed him up there.
Oh, did you see the clips before
his
the game?
Shirt off up there just partying with. Oh yeah, when he's taking the shots out of the
bowling ball shots and fucking tailgating with everybody. And I mean, that guy is my spirit animal. That guy is.
Oh, he's amazing.
And his wife is fucking phenomenal.
I've been watching clips. I don't know if I sent you one. Did I send you the one about the shark? The clips that they have of them doing the podcast and him leaving her behind on the shark when the shark came at him.
I don't recall. Let me see here.
There's a whole story that him and Jason would talk about on their podcast about how he left her behind because he's a shark in Maui.
Yep.
And then she came on and basically talked about how he just blew right past her, didn't even say a word. Just she's like, yeah, he's been falling off that thing all day, and all of a sudden he's on the paddleboard moving faster than I've ever seen him move. And I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. And he just leaves me there for the shark. He's like, the shark was nowhere near you.
The way he picked up that little girl to get Taylor to see the sign is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've kind of been, not as bad as
I was glad that they focused on him more than Swift.
Yeah. But here's the thing. So I've kind of been on that same bandwagon, not as vile as a lot of people have been about Swift, you know, and how much airtime she's getting at games, but enough going, hey, let's just play football. Right.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking now Detroit's tearing it up, doing good. They're showing Eminem constantly. Nobody's bitched. Nobody's bitched once, right? And then I saw this post that this lady wrote, and she talks about how she's been a football fan forever, and she's naming things where you're like, okay, either she's done some pretty extensive research or she's a legit football fan, you know. But she brought up not one person bitched when for two straight weeks last year, every storyline was Mama Kels. Travis and Jason's mom. It had not one time could you turn on commentary about the game and not one person bitched. But because you got Taylor Swift, who people don't like her music, now we're bitching. And I mean, the way I look at it,
and see,
look at all the little girls coming to games. Now, whether or not they ever stay and become, whether or not they become or remain football fans when either this charade ends with his retirement or they break up or, you know, whatever. But I mean, you are introducing football to a whole new generation of people.
You are. I mean, it has its benefit. I mean, it's just one of those things for me. I'm one of those ones. I mean, I just want to see the game. I mean, it's kind of cool when they pan and they say, oh, look, who's in the crowd? It's so-and-so. But I mean, it was just when they get to that point, and I mean, I noticed it a little bit with Mama Kelsey. And I think part of the reason I didn't, it was like, okay, because it's the two kids, it's the two brothers against each other. I get it, you know, on that one kind of, but I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, you know, they did it a little bit with Simone Biles, but not as much. Because her husband's what, the safety on the Green Bay?
That's because Simone Biles' husband is that guy on Green Bay. Who the fuck is?
Because nobody knows who the fuck he is. But, you know, and because I had someone else say that. Well, they don't do that. I'm like, because out of the two, Simone Biles is the most, like, people know who she is.
And she
nobody
does
knows
get,
who her husband is.
She does. And she's on the sidelines of the games. Even more of a distraction. She's not up in
she's all the way down.
In a suite. Right? And
well,
nobody.
Taylor doesn't want to be cold. I know.
No.
She's down there because it's warm. When it's cold, I'm pretty sure she's not down on the sideline.
I'll tell you right now, if Taylor Swift was down on that sideline, there'd be so many pauses in the game for people on the field. I truly believe that. Like, I do believe it's more for her safety than anything, but, you know, I think it's going to bother me less. I think it's, you know, it is what it is. Now, here's what I want. Really, team-wise, I don't care if San Francisco or Detroit goes. I've got arguments for wanting both to go.
I hate San Francisco, like, with a passion. But
I hate San Francisco, the team. I love Brock Purdy.
Yes.
I love Christian McCaffrey. I like Debo Sam. They've got likable play. I love George Kittle. Guy's unfucking real. Like, just funny.
Here's the thing I got to say. It's not that I really don't like San Francisco. I don't like their fans. San Francisco fans, there's very few San Francisco fans that I've met that I don't want to just immediately kick in the balls.
Yeah, I get that.
It's like Aaron Rodgers. You see his face and you want to punch it.
Aaron Rodgers.
It's the same thing the same thing when I see like 49ers fans. I don't know what it is about them, but I just want to smack them.
No, I get that. I 100% get that. Now, I would like...
In Detroit, I just feel bad for it.
I don't feel bad for Detroit, but Detroit's been horrible, and I've got nothing against them, and would love to see them win. I like Dan
Campbell.
Feel
bad for their fans. I mean, I've been that fan. I mean, I've been the fan of that team that just can't seem to pull their head out of their ass.
Yeah, but guess how many of those fans are at these playoff games? Very few.
No.
Because those fans have been priced out.
Yes.
To bring in the Detroit wealthy, it was the most expensive ticket in NFL history to go to last weekend's game. Almost $1,200 for the cheap seat.
Yeah.
You haven't been in the playoffs in 30 fucking years. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Because that's all of a sudden the rich people are like, oh, they're finally in the playoffs. I need to pay so I can go see this.
So that part pissed me off. But I like Dan Campbell. I like the fact that the Rams said, fuck you, Goff. I also like the fact that when the Rams won, that Matt Stafford got his after giving Detroit everything he possibly could. Right? It wasn't like he phoned it in Detroit, because he sure shit didn't.
Oh, no. I mean, if you want to talk about like the most gutsy play ever, go watch the video where he breaks his freaking collarbone and then walks back out on the field and throws the winning touchdown.
Looks at his coach and goes, I can throw it if you need me to. And then runs off the field yelling at everybody, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me.
Yeah, don't touch me. And you could see him, like his arms like hanging off like at a weird angle. And you're like, that's not right.
So there's a lot to like about Detroit too. However, if I get my way, I want a Kansas City, Detroit. The only team I don't like is fucking Baltimore. That's the only team I don't want in. I hate the fucking Harbaughs. Fuck them. Fucking hate them. But I want Detroit, Kansas City. And you know, like, when the Super Bowl comes, you always get the mayors of the teams making, like, when Seattle won, or the Seattle mayor made a bet, and we'll give you blah, 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 salmon, and I think New England was crabs, or, you know, whatever it was, lobster.
Because everybody in New England has crabs.
Yes, they do, Tom Brady included. But what I don't want the mayors involved in the bet. I want an Eminem, Taylor Swift bet. The winning team gets to write the song. The losing team must perform it. So if Detroit won, Eminem writes a rap that Taylor Swift must perform. And if Taylor Swift's Chiefs win, she writes a pop song that Eminem must perform.
See, the only thing I worry about that, though, is knowing both of them, I have a feeling that they would probably still sound good.
No, it's going to sound good, but could you imagine Eminem writing a rap?
Yeah, singing a song about the Chiefs?
In Eminem's lyrics and Taylor Swift.
And his lyrics.
And I don't even care to perform. Let's just record it. Let's record it so we all have a nicely digital mastered version that we can have. Right? If they do it live,
that'd be awesome.
If they do it live, you're going to get somebody's shitty cell phone recording. And, I mean, still good, but meh. I want to go to Amazon Music and download my first Taylor Swift song. That's what I want.
And it being about how wonderful Detroit is.
Yeah, whatever they want to write about.
Oh, you have to write about how great the other team is.
I would love nothing more than Taylor Swift to have to come out and rap about how much of a drug-addicted whore Kim is, his ex-wife, like 90% of fucking his songs. I mean, honestly, his songs?
Nice.
How much is he boosting Detroit up? Like, it wouldn't feel like an Eminem-written song if he came out. Now, a diss track on Kansas City would be Eminem.
Yeah.
So we could have that. And then Taylor write a breakup song, which is what she's known for, maybe about M and Kim. Like, I just think the possibility, I think it'd be fucking hilarious. You have,
there's some amazing possibilities in that.
You have arguably the biggest rapper on the planet in Eminem, and no doubt right now currently the biggest pop star on the planet. And you would make the other dude,
because I mean, she's broke all the records.
Yeah,
like all the yeah, I mean
everything.
She's bigger than everybody.
Mm-hmm. Like
the like greatest selling artist like of all time.
I just think it'd be,
whether you like her music or not, that's just facts.
I think it would be way better than, you know, the mayor of Detroit going, "Oh, we'll send you a year's supply of Detroit deep dish pizza," and
yeah.
You know, Kansas City, "Oh, we'll send you some barbecue ribs." Nope. I don't want that.
No. No, it's got to be diss tracks. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
See, now that's what I want. I know. Now that's what I want.
I thought about that the other day, and I told Tosh, and she's like, "That's dumb." And I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. That's amazing.
This has the potential to be fucking amazing.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
It could be amazing. And that's going to be one of those songs that, like, and whatever the song would be, it would be like every year. Like, that would be their, like, you know, if it was a diss track on Kansas City, that would be like what Dan Campbell is playing before they go out on the field.
Yep.
Anytime they play Kansas City, that song would suddenly be playing in the stadium.
Yep. And I bet you every Detroit fan would fucking know it. You know?
Yep.
Oh, God, it'd be so. So good. And yeah, I have zero pull to offer that option to anybody of power, but it would be fucking...
If anybody in power is listening to this, make it happen.
They're not. they're not. So, well, we missed Christmas. We got gifts here now. You got yours, right?
We do.
Okay.
I do.
For those
I'm going to hit the record button because I want to record.
Well, you can do what you want. For those listening, we've missed so much time.
Recording in progress.
Yeah, it is. And if you haven't heard, my mother passed away on January the 8th. My mom got sick, ended up in the hospital December 28th. And it just obviously went tremendously downhill really quick after that. And so I've been taking personal time and kind of just stepped away from everything. With that being said, big shout out to you. I haven't got there. Not a lot of people have reached out to me like you have. And I'd say at least weekly, you've checked in to see how I'm doing, you know, if not a couple times more. A couple listeners of the show have done the same thing. Chris Pickett has been amazing reaching out as well. So big shout out to him, Joe Simomo as well. And so don't think that my thanks, I appreciate it, is just a write-off. It's just dealing with a lot of shit in my head and mine where that's about all anybody's getting at the moment, you know. I almost messaged you and canceled tonight. All of a sudden, all the finalizations for everything came in tonight. And we're going through pictures, put the slideshow together. She'll be buried Friday. We found that out about 2 hours ago. So she'll be buried Friday, 10:15. And so, and then Saturday, we're doing the, what do they call it, celebration of life or whatever. So, and then my sister sent me pictures of, like, the urn and stuff, and she went and picked up the ashes today and all that, you know, just kind of struck a chord with me, if you will. So I was feeling feeling myself a little bit today, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It's been a while. Maybe I need it. If I don't need it, I can always press stop at any time and not publish or whatever and back away. But it's been really, really fun so far. So, with all that sappiness out of the way.
I'm here for you whatever way you need. I wish I was there, but we know I'm not. I'm a little ways away now.
And I appreciate it. And to be honest, I haven't hit my breaking point yet. And I'm sure it's coming. And I'm sure there, you know, maybe a couple weeks from now or a month from now, whatever the case may be, there may be that breakdown moment where I need somebody to chit chat with or message back and forth with or whatever the case may be. I've done a lot of focusing my time on my siblings. You know, I think my brother, and I don't want to compare who it's rougher for, because that's not really fair either. We all have the roughness maybe in different ways, but my brother's never not lived with my mom. Mm-hmm. He's 51 years old. All of a sudden, he's by himself. You know, my sister works at the same place my mom worked at for 40 years. You know, every day she's got 20, 30 people coming in talking. You know, she doesn't get that where I go to work and I'm escaping. You know, there's been a handful of customers of mine that I'm close with that when my mom went in the hospital, I mentioned it. And for instance, today somebody was like, oh, how's your mom doing? Is she, you know, she making home from the hospital? And, you know, I got to break the bad news. But I mean, that's, I did 10 stores today. That was one store. So I get to escape where she doesn't at all. She walks in the door and my mom's memorial is on the door, you know, the announcement. So we've been making through the best we can. But when we're done here, I got to go put together the, I'm torturing myself. I got to go put together the country music playlist because that was my mom's specific wish, was that country music was played during her services. And Seaman.
Well, yeah, mom loved country music.
Seaman, I'm the music guy. I get to go do that. And then Tosh's the only one that has a scanner and stuff. So everybody's been sending pictures or Vi brought over a bunch of photo albums and shit like that. So we've been scanning, putting together a slideshow and blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah.
But for those that have reached out.
Mom used to go every year to.
She went quite a few years, 4 or 5 years in a row to Country Music Fest in Tennessee, I think.
Yep.
And
I remember her going to Tennessee all the time, and I know she loved country music.
Yeah. So, and like, it was funny. My sister today was like, you kind of played Dwight Yoakam. I was like, oh, mom, like, I just know she kind of likes that. She really loved that late 80s through the 90s, you know, the Garth Brooks and who did Chattanooga or something Hoochie way down yonder on the Chattahoochee. There you go.
Alan Jackson.
Reba, you know, kind of that Shania. And I was like, oh, did mom like Dwight Yoakam? She goes, nope. She absolutely fucking hated him. And she goes, me and Luke would think it was funny as shit if you put a Dwight Yoakam song in there. And I was like, honestly, I had the same thought. Cause what I grew up with my mom was oldies. And when I say oldies for you fucking millennials who call me living in the late 1900s, you dicks. Oldies is 1950s, 1960s. That's oldies to me. And that's what I grew up listening to with my mom. And my mom hated the fucking Stones. Fucking hated the Rolling Stones, hated Mick Jagger. And I honestly, a couple days ago, as I was starting to brainstorm this musical list, I had thought about throwing a Rolling Stones song in there just for that laugh for myself as well, or a Beatles song. Because my mom, probably till the day she died, if you would have brought it up, argued that the Monkees were better than the Beatles.
I might agree with mom a little bit on that.
Now, I love the Monkees. I love the Monkees. Oh, yeah. But when you compare what they meant to music, it's not even fucking close.
Yes.
When you take the Monkees, but I'll be honest,
I probably know more Monkees music than I do Beatles.
You know there are like 8 hits. You also know 8 hits of the Beatles. You can't tell me a B-side of a fucking Monkees album. You know, if it was on the show, you know it, but that's about it. But the Monkees to me were the
show was amazing.
The first boy band. They didn't write their own music. They didn't know each other. They were just put together for this TV show, you know, where the Beatles wrote everything.
And for a long time, they didn't play their own.
I know. Now, I saw the Monkees in, 96, 97? The first reunion in like 40 years with Peter Tork. And I got to see him. which was super cool. But that's neither here nor there. Anyways, we missed Christmas.
I think they said what they started off not playing the music, but by the end of it, they could.
Yeah.
So.
And I think there's only one left.
They learned to play during the show. I think so.
Well, it's no different than the 1980s of the Go-Go's.
They're old.
The Go-Go's couldn't play their instruments either.
Yeah.
So, all right. We missed Christmas. We've got each other gifts.
We did.
You go first.
All right.
And then after you open it, I got a story for it.
There it is. I got it. Uh-oh.
Yeah. I got a disappointing story for it.
Says Greg, you like?
Huh?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what?
A disappointing story.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
I think that you said it just... Oh, what's...
I was disappointed.
That is awesome.
I've actually got two disappointing stories.
Does it actually glow?
It's a neon.
Plugs in and...
I thought you needed it for your studio.
I do. That is amazing. A re-nerdish new neon. So for anyone who...
Yeah. We gotta plug it in, especially because you're recording.
Yeah.
We gotta plug it in and turn the lights off. If you gotta take your headset off to do that or whatever, I gotta see that thing lit up. Because all I gotta do is do the customization, order it and stuff. While we're doing this, so I did initially get you something to hang on your wall. Renerdish wise. Somebody on Buy Nothing was giving away this fake plaque thing for a gold record. And I had the center of the record made with the Renerdish logo. I had a plaque done for you, or like a little gold, you know, said Brandon Valentine, host of Renerdish. I can't find the fucking gold record thing anywhere. Oh, that is horrible lighting. Shut your lights off. You look like a fucking alien. That's just a big green glow. That's still just a big green glow. Holy shit.
It is, but it looks great to me.
But it lights the fucking room up. You may have to get a still picture, and we'll throw that on the Renerdish website or Facebook page when that happens. So, anyways.
Okay, that thing's amazing.
Anyways, that was disappointing story number one. Did you hear anything about the gold plaque? Or did you take your headphones off?
I heard a little bit about the gold plaque. I took them off to go over there real quick, but I heard a little bit.
I can't find the actual gold record thing. No. I had the decal made for it in the middle. Can't find the gold record thing any fucking where. Nowhere. I don't know if it got put in our Christmas bins when cleaning. No fucking clue where it's at. So that was disappointment number two.
It happens.
Or number one. Disappointment number two. I sent pictures to a site on Amazon to have a t-shirt made that read Renerdish Podcast. And on the bottom, these guys are nuts. And it was the ultrasound of my testicles. I then in turn emailed the company and said, wait a second, can I send you a picture of my real one to put on the back? And they said, those are your nuts. And they declined. They sent my money back and fucking declined.
Should have told them that you were going
to... They fucking declined.
So you get for telling them they were your nuts.
Well, it's because I... So now somebody who declined my has a picture of my nuts.
Now, did you send a picture, an actual picture of nuts, or just the ultrasound?
No, I sent just the ultrasound, and then I emailed them like 2 days later because I was like, oh my God, it'd be even funnier if on the back it was my real nut. And that's when they were like, these are your testicles? Yeah. Son of a bitch. All right.
You shouldn't have told them.
Oh, let me see here. Move the microphone. Try not to make a whole lot of fucking noise. This thing has been staring me in the eyeballs because you are way more prompt than I was.
Yeah.
And I was afraid you weren't going to get yours, period. When I sent you that message and I got that. And I wanted to send you the message that Amazon sent me about just cancel your order if it doesn't show up and blah, blah, blah. But it said what it was. And I was like, well, that defeats the whole fucking purpose. So I was like, oh, I can't.
Yeah, it does.
Look at the fucking A. This is almost as bad as sending me a t-shirt with your nuts on it. Packing peanut. Hold on.
Yeah.
I have never seen that in my life. This is a Santa never Claus seen him either. Ornament dispenser. Pez, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
That is cool shit. I'm trying to figure out how it... I never take anything out of the package. I want to know how the...
Yeah, I've never seen them either.
And a snowman? No, I've... Oh, it looks like the whole head, split at the mouth. They show you directions on the side. Looks like the whole head split at the mouth opens up, so it looks like fucking Terrence and Phillips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sent Toss a picture. I'm like, do you know if Matt has these? She's like, I don't think I've ever seen those before. I'm like, I've never seen them either, so, yeah.
We haven't done these on air. And
I know how you love your Mad Libs.
Well, we haven't. We used to do these on air.
I know.
Somebody's got to. If somebody's been listening long enough to remember our Mad Libs on air, you didn't tell me there was a card. I
was
rubbing them
with Kevin, and he couldn't. Oh yeah.
Dude, we need to do another show with Kevin.
Kevin, and he didn't know what any of them were. He's like, "What's an adverb?"
It doesn't shut off. It's that one.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I looked. Tosh would let me buy it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's not.
You're not going to open it?
Oh, there it is. Open what?
You did it shut off? The card.
Can you hear it?
No. Is it still playing?
Oh, yeah.
No. Okay. I think it said it plays for 3 days.
I so wanted to buy it, and Tosh wouldn't let me.
Well, now you have it.
Yeah, for 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
God damn, I'm trying not to spill packing peanuts.
That's the best part of the packing peanuts, because they make a fucking mess. Trying to remember what else was in there.
Is this tic-tac-toe?
Yeah, that'd be fun to play with the kids.
Hell yeah.
I got that crazy Christmas story showed you. That's where I found it.
I assumed as much. Make sure I didn't miss anything.
I think that's it.
I did not. This is really cool. I like things like this, obviously. I got a lot of little wood plaques, and especially around the holidays.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, yeah, Matt would like this.
I do. Yeah, it's still fucking going.
I saw that and I'm like, "This I've got to."
I don't remember who I wanted to buy it for. Somebody who hates the fucking song. Was it Victor, maybe? I can't remember.
Probably. I mean, it's because it's one of those things, we've done, how many times have we, sent each other the video back and forth where something and you get Rickrolled? So I saw that and I'm like, oh, yeah.
So we'll be reaching out to Kevin soon for some Mad Libs.
Yeah, we got to remind him what an adverb is and all those things.
So these are the only two Pez I got for Christmas this year.
Nice.
To be honest, I never get mad. I'm still not mad at Christmas, let's be honest here. But my brother had, for years now, 7, 8, 9 years, has been buying me whatever metal tin ones come out. right? I think you got me one year, and I was like, oh, yeah, my brother got, like, I got doubles of them. I think the Batman or Justice League ones. And doing some shopping around Christmas, I saw the Disney 100, like the silver ones. And I was like, oh, those are, and I was like, nope, can't buy them. I'm sure Rod's going to get them for me. Didn't happen. Can you not hear that? Is my mic that weak or what?
Yeah, they are. You mean those?
So I have two sets of those. This was the four pack in the metal tin that looked like Mickey's ears.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't find that. I want that one because I have the 50th or the 80th.
Okay. Is that the Mickey one where one. All the Mickey, it's four Mickey Mouses and they're like on stand, like, I don't know what you want to call them, pedestals or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the tin. I have that one.
Any other...
So I wanted the 100th anniversary one, but I never found it.
Any other great Christmas gifts?
I mean, I got some good ones. I got, what? Amber got me the MetaQuest 3. So virtual reality thing, which I've been wanting for a while. So that was the main big one. But I mean, we went to Palm Springs with the kids.
That's right.
That was really Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. How was Palm Springs? Yeah. Yeah? Did you kill anybody?
It's the Yakima, Washington of California. It really is. Except that honestly, there's less Mexicans in Palm Springs than there's in Yakima.
Yeah.
No, not really. I think there might have been like 20 years ago, but no, it's bad.
Oh. Well.
Yeah, it's bad. So I'm like, oh yeah, this is the Yakima. It really was. It was Yakima, but like with less Mexicans.
That's awesome. So I have been saying for probably since like August when I first saw it, it's a Lego Batwing. And it's not the big, like, $400 one, right? It's a smaller $40, $50 one. And we were at Walmart, and I pointed out to Tosh, she actually took a picture of it, wrote it down what it was called, right? So I get this package from her, and I open it up, or I'm shaking it, and I'm like, oh, I got some Legos. She got me a Batmobile, Lego Batmobile, the 4 Plus, 10 pieces. Like the car was already put together. You just put the details on the car. And every chance I get, I give her shit.
But it's still cool.
And she's like, cool. That's what I told her. I said, I love it because I don't have that one. And I think I've got, now I think I've got 9 Lego Batmobiles. But we were shopping at Walmart just buying like toilet paper and shit. I think it was like last week. And I can't walk into Walmart without going down the toy aisle because that's just who I am. And we went down the toy aisle, and I saw the Batmobile, and I was like, oh, man, I really wish I would have got this for Christmas. She's like, you're never going to let me live this down, are you? Nope, no, I'm not. You bought me...
No.
You, it's basically, part of being married. You bought me the Duplo version. But the kids all got me the... Nacos? The old school action figures. They're like... cloth, they're maybe a 10 inches tall, and the bodies are like cloth. I don't want to get up, I don't feel like it, but they're like from the 70s.
Yeah,
they made them and then they redid them this last year. And she got me, the kids got me Batman, Joker, and Robin, which I thought were really cool. So
nice,
yeah. And we did get to spend it with Ma, we got Ma to the house, which was really nice. A lot of lifting her and carrying her and stuff like that, but we got her there. So that was really cool. But no, all in all, you know, Christmas was exactly how I wanted it to be. Drama free, relax, steak and shrimp. You know, it would have been nice if Samantha and Steven and Carson were here.
It was
here.
A little weird. Yeah, it was a little weird because it was just me and Amber. Like, we didn't even, like, there was nothing under the tree. We just did, like, you know, the stockings, the Christmas morning, everything. We just kind of, like, it was Christmas month. Like, whenever a present came in, we're like, here you go. And we just handed it to each other. So, I mean, it was, so Christmas morning was just about the stockings. But, you know, all the big presents we both already had. So, which was kind of fun. It gave me time to play with the VR, you know, and stuff like that. And actually, it's small enough. I took it with me to Palm Springs and got to play with it with, you know, Benton and the, you know, Rillin and all that stuff. So it was still fun. Good. I mean, we had a blast.
Good.
It was different though, because it was growing up with a huge family. I'm used to Christmas being this huge production. And then it was just me and Amber. And it's like, I like it, but it's weird.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, maybe not the huge production, but having Benton and Zoe and stuff there would have been okay. You know, or at least like last year where you maybe drive an hour to her house and, you know, but I get it. Your first empty nester, you'll have to get used to it, you know, figure out your new ways.
It's a little weird.
So,
mm-hmm.
All right, sir. Well, I'm going to say this was therapeutic. Felt good to get back out here.
Good.
So,
well, if you want to record another one, let me know whenever. And
yeah, to the best of my knowledge,
we can do extras.
Yeah, we can do that too. We did have to cancel Bunko. So you did not officially miss Bunko.
Yeah.
My mom went in the hospital the day
before. Fly up there for that.
My mom went into the hospital the day before, so we made the tough call of canceling. Well,
I
know.
I think next year Amber has booked Leavenworth for the week between Christmas and New Year's next year.
Mm.
So we're actually going to fly home and go to Leavenworth for the week in between.
You move to where it's warm. To fly where it's cold in the middle of the cold.
Yeah, but then I get to come back here where it's warm.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, they react completely. Like, you know how everyone reacts up there the second they see snow?
Yeah.
That's how they react down here whenever the temperature drops below 35.
Seems about right.
Like, it went to freezing. My office shut down. Like, literally, because they're like, well, it's going to be below freezing. Nobody can drive. We're shutting down the office tomorrow. I'm like, okay.
Interesting. Let's see.
Yeah. So if it goes below 35, they just, like, Houston shuts down. Like, one of the comedy shows is supposed to, they're like, nope, it's supposed to be below 35. The bar is closing for the night.
What?
So there's no show.
Now, we did have to cancel school a couple days last week.
But I'm sure there was snow.
No. No snow. It was ice.
Yeah.
It took me, so you know where I live, took me 25 minutes from my house to the Chevron, 0.8 miles away.
Yeah.
The ice was that thick. I got to that store and went in and did my job. And I'm like, I'm going to hang out for a little bit and let the sun peek up, you know, just so I can see the ice. And while I was waiting there, my boss called and said, are you out? I was like, yeah. He goes, you're the only one. Go home. Okay. Yeah. So, and then the kids missed 2 days. Last, I think it was Wednesday, Thursday. But this thing is awesome. It's still just, I could hear it over my headphones.
And see, for me, they'd even said, hear what?
You can't.
The thing, it's still going?
Yeah.
No, I can't. But yeah, at my work, it was one of those. They basically said, even for me, because I have to drive. If they're like, if you have to drive over a bridge to get to work, you don't have to come in tomorrow. And then they just eventually said, now we're just going to close the whole office.
No.
I'm like, yeah, I have to drive over like four bridges to go to work. And they're like, nope, you can just stay home then.
Oh, I did not tell you the greatest Christmas gift I got. And it wasn't even a Christmas gift. So you're familiar with Buy Nothing groups?
Yes.
Okay. So somebody posted a brand new Coleman inflatable hot tub. And by the time I put my name on it, there was already like 80 people requesting it. I ended up getting chosen. I don't know how. I don't know why. And the lady was telling me that she ordered one. Amazon sent two. And she called Amazon to tell them that, and they said, just keep it. We don't want it back. Okay. I mean, the package is unopened, like brand new. So I just got to wait.
Have you filled it up yet?
No. I got to be able to get outside and set the yard for it, or set the back porch for it.
Yeah.
So.
Will your porch hold that weight?
I hope so. I hope so. I want to put a cover, like I want to put, I don't know, some type of awning or something up over the porch now. And on the back of the studio here, put my projector screen. And then I can put my projector and sit in the hot tub and watch movies or whatever.
Well, see, that's one thing for my work Christmas. That's what I won. I don't know if you saw a picture of it. I won a like home theater, 120 inch screen, you know, projector. And I put it in my garage in my gym and mounted this projector in the ceiling. So I can sit there and run on the treadmill and watch like pool movies like I'm at the drive-ins.
I did see that. And then I saw your new little bar you were making.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
it's almost done. It's drying right now because we stained it. So
nice.
Stained that top piece. So it's, I don't have any kids dealing with it. So I can go play with and build and do all sorts of weird shit.
There you go.
But that's actually the stand. It's a stand from one of my old fish tanks because I kept the stands, but I was going to buy new fish tanks. Well, that was a very specific fish tank for that stand. It was a 38 gallon, which you can't find anymore. And they're like, yeah, they haven't made those in like 15 years. And I'm like, okay, well, it's actually a nice sturdy stand. So I'm like, I don't want to throw it away. So I just built a top.
Yeah.
And put it on there and that's going to become the bar.
It was looking nice. Yeah. So you were using the rotor and. Is that what it's called?
Took your slip right out of the top and router.
A router, yeah. There you go. Rotor's the part of my car for brakes, yeah. I know what I'm talking about. All right, guys. Yeah. Well, I got to get in and get these kids some dinner. We haven't made it that far in life yet. So, like I said, therapeutic fun. We'll be back next week. Probably next week for sure. Like I said, with all the services are throughout this week and different things, so... And then maybe starting next week, we might even throw in an extra show here or there, whatever we can do. But we'll go into next week. So, all right, guys, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to yourself.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.